Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Anne Gager, who is with the Biologic Institute of the Discovery Institute. She has a B.S. in biology from MIT, a Ph.D. in developmental biology from the University of Washington, and also she's done some postdoctorate work at Harvard, and she is the co-author of a new book coming out soon called Science and Human Origins. One of the co-authors with her is Douglas Axe, whom we had on this program a couple months ago. But we're going to talk about the discovery of a skull in Kenya of an ancient ape. Evolutionists say that it's supposedly 13 million years old. One of the main things about this skull is that it's in relatively pristine condition compared to a lot of other findings that they have. And so basically what I want to do, Dr. Gager, if we could, is just talk about human evolution and what is proven and what is not. Sometimes finds like this are trumpeted as if, oh, this proves Darwin was right on all the fine points about evolution, or even the not so fine points. So let's get your take on this. First of all, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here.
I saw a little...
Yeah,
go ahead. What is your take on this skull? Is it any big deal?
No. It's a skull that fills in peace, perhaps, in the evolution of apes, but there's a problem with doing science based on fossils in general, and so... There are a couple of underlying assumptions that go into the analysis of fossils. One is that the animals are descended from one another, so they have common ancestry, and the way they establish who's descended from whom is by how they look and what they share in common, what they don't share in common.
Wait. Let me just try and understand. Are you saying that the scientists themselves start with the premise that evolution is true, so then as they look at the evidence of these things, you know, we all share the same evidence, right? But they would have the more evolutionary interpretation. That kind of thing? Is that what you're saying?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yep. They all hold to common descent, that we share common ancestry. And so the interpretation of this fossil find is that it is intermediate between an older fossil in its structure and more recent apes. So the assumption is that it's because of common descent. Now, I'd like to tell you a story that came from a book published in 2015 called Ancestors in Our Genome. The fellow who wrote the book is named Eugene Harris. He himself started out his life as a paleontologist studying fossil monkey bones. And based on the anatomy of these bones and modern animals, they had grouped baboons and mandrills together because they all have long faces. Do you remember what a baboon looks like?
Well, go on. I'll Google it when we're finished.
Long nose. Okay, a long face.
Yeah.
Mandrills have long faces with stripes on either side.
Oh, okay.
You may remember from any nature shows you've seen. So they look alike in that sense. They have the shape of a skull that would say that they're related to one another. But when people did DNA analysis of these monkeys, they found that the baboons were related to one kind of monkey and the mandrills were related to another kind of monkey, and they weren't related to each other at all. So that argues that either the DNA is wrong or the analysis based on face shape is wrong. So you have to be careful about conclusions you draw from things that look alike. They may not actually be related by DNA. They may have gotten their face shape for different reasons entirely. So that's a concern for fossils in general.
Mm-hmm. And is this particular fossil from Kenya, by the way, it's the size only of a lemon, and apparently it's the ape was an infant. Is this in any way the missing link, so-called?
No, absolutely not. There's no reason to leap to the conclusion that even if this is a fossil related to apes that are related to primates, great apes like monkeys, like chimpanzees and gorillas, that doesn't mean they're related to us. Hmm. There's no evidence of a definite bridge, even though scientists would say that it's true, and so would National Geographic, etc. Let me tell you a story about how I got into this field.
Sure.
In 2011, a philosopher called me up and said, how strong is the evidence against Adam and Eve, the genetic evidence? And I said, well, I don't know. I've never looked into it because my field is studying whether Darwinian evolution is even possible, and it looks like to us that it's not possible, which would mean that we couldn't have evolved from apes in the first place. But I'll go look at the evidence against Adam and Eve because it's a scientific question. And he got all excited. He said, you're the first scientist willing to look at this that he'd found. So I spent time researching in the literature, and my conclusion is that it's not possible for us to have evolved from apes for several reasons. First is the too many changes required. Second is there are enormous gaps between us and apes as far as what we can do. We have language, complex language. We have abstract thought. We write music. We play games for fun. Just physiologically, there are many differences. We walk upright. There's a lot of physiological changes that have to happen for all of these things to happen. And it takes too long, genetically, to acquire all those changes. Other scientists have done calculations about how long it takes to get just one mutation, one specific mutation, in the DNA of a human ancestor. And it would take 6 million years to get one specific mutation. 6 million years is as long as the scientists say we have to go from chimpanzee to us, or not chimpanzee, ape-like ancestor to us. Clearly, there isn't enough time for us to have acquired all those mutations in the course of 6 million years. If it takes 6 million years to get one specific mutation.
Well, can I ask you a question? Sure. How many mutations, playing their game, okay, just putting it, in their court, if you will. If supposedly man did evolve from some sort of ancient ape-like creature or whatever, which, by the way, it would be some sort of ancient hominid that branched off into the apes and into the humans, right? That's my understanding going back to college at Tulane, as far as evolution itself, trying to understand it. Their theory, which I don't agree with, by the way, but going back, how many mutations would be necessary? You said it would take 6 million years just to basically do one mutation. How many mutations would be needed about from monkey to man?
About. All right, let me just give you a small example. For us to learn to walk upright so that we can run, so run long distances.
Okay.
Starting with a fossil called Lucy. She's a famous fossil.
Right.
Short, ape-like creature that may have walked upright.
Africa.
Some physiologists from Harvard, Daniel Lieberman, and I don't remember the second author.
It's all right. Go on.
They did an analysis of the changes to the skeleton that would be required in order for Lucy to learn to run long distances. And the estimate was at least 16 changes. And each change is a morphological change, so it's probably requiring several coordinated mutations itself. And then there's the fact that those 16 changes generally need to occur together, because if you get the ability to stand upright, but you don't have your legs adjusted properly for standing upright, and your spine adjusted properly, and your neck adjusted properly, you're going to be handicapped rather than able to run long distances.
So this explains why I've never seen an ape run a marathon. And apparently an ape couldn't run a marathon. Okay, 16 times 6 million would be 96 million. So in other words, 96 million years approximately. And again, some of those changes would have had to have occurred at the same time. You're basically saying evolution is impossible in terms of just even the time frame. Even if the world was all these millions and millions of years old, they're not saying that apes have been around necessarily that long. Again, this ancient skull, they're saying, is 13 million years. What about the 1% difference between us and chimps? Isn't that, and that's a DNA difference, right? That's pretty significant. We're 99% the same, right? Oh, go ahead.
Well, can I hold on?
Surely. Yes, go ahead.
Go back to your 16 changes. Actually, the same people who did the calculation for how hard it would be to get one specific change, they then went on to ask how hard would it be to get two specific changes that don't confer any benefit till they're both there.
Okay.
And the answer was 216 million years.
Oh. Oh, so the 16 times 6 million, I was making some false assumptions. You're saying to just make two changes were 216 million years. And they're not saying that apes were around for more than 200 million years, are they?
No, actually, 216 million years is when the first mammals are supposed to have appeared.
Oh, man. Well, their theory's in trouble then. Okay, so let's go back to the 1%, the DNA. Man and chimp are very similar. In fact, I remember seeing this at the Smithsonian. It made me wonder, uh-oh, you know, is there some evidence for evolution here? What are your thoughts?
Okay, the 1% number is a myth. It's been published in the journal Science that 1% is a myth. Our genetic differences are actually more like 5%. Now, 5% difference doesn't sound like all that much, but where the differences are is what matters. Now consider, suppose you had a book, two books, that are only 5% different. The words are the same for the 95%. What matters is what words are different. If you were to put that 5% difference by putting not in sentences, it would change the meaning of the book, right?
Yeah.
So it would actually reverse the meaning of the book to have 5% of it have not in specific places. So for our DNA, our genomes, where the DNA differences are matters. And it's the case that a large number of those changes are in specific regions that are involved in controlling gene expression. So that means how genes are turned on and off and when they're turned on and off and where they're turned on and off. So even though our genes themselves may not look that different, when and how and where they're expressed is different. And that's enough to account for major differences in body plan between apes and us. Here's another analogy. A house is built of basic components. Every house has wiring, every house has plumbing, every house has sheetrock, every house has some sort of roof tiles,
foundation,
etc. The same materials, right? But how the materials are assembled is controlled by a blueprint. And you can have radically different blueprints use the same materials. Our genes would be like the building blocks that the house is made of. The blueprint is the part of the DNA that controls how and when and where those building materials are assembled. So the take-home message is there's a reason why we look different from chimps. We have similar genes, but they're not used in the same places in the same ways, necessarily.
All right, well, we're out of time, but I want to refer people to your wonderful website. It's discovery.org. Again, our guest for this portion of Vocal Point has been Dr. Ann Gager. Gager is spelled G-A-U-G-E-R. Thank you so much for being with us, Doctor. We appreciate it. Bye-bye now. God bless.